Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now. Get that toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. There's a great passage in the book of Galatians. It's one verse, but it, boy, just is power-packed with truth and information that can just change your life, rock your world, if you really grab hold of what it means. And it reads this. It's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so vitally important. He hung on a cross. He died to take away our sins. He was buried. And then on the third day, he came out of that tomb fully alive. He ascended into heaven. He was given the gift of God's Spirit, and he poured that out on mankind. And through his Spirit, Jesus Christ has come to live inside of us. The resurrected Christ is alive, living in us. So how do we live? By faith in him. And boy, that is a hard concept for us to really grasp, what it truly means to live by faith. How do we do that? And because we don't really know, we go back to rules and regulations and standards and protocols and rules of thumb and all of that sort of stuff and just totally negate the power of this verse, the fact that we can live by faith in the resurrected Christ and allow him to live his life through us. So if you really want to know what the gospel message is and how it's to be lived out in day-to-day life, I can think of no better verse in the Word of God than Galatians 2:20. It's powerful, it's simple, it's concise, but boy, is it ever life-changing. Yeah.
It is basic gospel.
Yes, indeed.
And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. We're glad you've joined us for this edition. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we want you to be a part of the program at 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. Time on the clock. Time to address your question or your particular life situation. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Why I mentioned Galatians 2:20, as far as the verse is concerned, I could talk about it every single day. Yeah. It's just that powerful of a verse, and you can never really come to the end of it because you're talking about Christ. You're talking about Jesus. He's an infinite being, and we can never know the height and depth and length and breadth of his love. It just is ever expanding. And so we can talk about it every single day, but last February we had a conference 220, sure, based on this verse. Frank Viola, Andrew Farley, Pete Briscoe, myself came together to talk about what this verse means in daily living. Richard led music. It was just a powerful, powerful event, and I know those who participated in it really wrote back some wonderful testimony as to how this message changed them, shaped them, renewed their thinking as far as the Christian life is concerned. Well, it's our featured product. The messages from that conference are our featured product today. And so we want you to have it. It's available through our Thanksgiving sale at 30% discount.
Yeah,
so
right.
that's a hard bargain to pass up.
I'll guarantee you. And you can find that when you visit store.basicgospel.net. Again, store.basicgospel.net to take advantage of this and all of the resources that are available through the store. Huge discount, 30% on all products now through December 8th. Hope you'll take advantage of it, friends.
Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How about you today?
I'm good. I'm doing good. My question was, I'm a Christian, and, I evangelize to people about Jesus Christ as not Christians, I do that all of the time. And I read the whole New Testament more than one time, and I'm always reading the New Testament, but now I start to read the Old Testament, too. So I read a lot of the Old Testament. But my question is, for me reading the Old Testament, it's prove to me how the children of Israel was so rebellious, and God kept on giving them different judges and giving them second chances and taking them back. But my thing was, is it sufficient for, as being a Christian today, to read the Old Testament as the same way you read the New Testament? Because I know when I evangelize to like people like Jewish and they don't believe in Christ, and atheists and Muslims, it's good to know the Old Testament. You know, so my question is to you guys, should I be reading the Old Testament the same way I vigorously read the New Testament?
Well, Eugene, that's an excellent question. I think the New Testament, that's where we get the full explanation of this gospel message. We get the full explanation of this new covenant that we live in today. We get the full explanation of who Jesus is and just how much he loves us. Everything before the New Testament is really shadows, you know, and fingers pointing us forward to Jesus Christ. So we're not going to get the full extent of who he was. We're just going to get little snippets of his story. And, you know, as time passed and marched on as far as the Old Testament was concerned, we got more of the detail. But we get the full picture in the New Testament. And let me make a distinction. There's the Old Testament and New Testament. That's a division within the Bible. But there's also an Old Covenant and a New Covenant. The Old Covenant was between God and the people of Israel. And much of the Old Testament, we see what that history was all about, the story of the people of Israel and how they constantly failed to live up to their end of the bargain as far as that Old Covenant was concerned, and yet how God continued to be faithful to his promises to them. Now, when Jesus came, he was still living under that Old Covenant. That Old Covenant was still in place, and that stayed in place until the day Jesus died. And when Jesus died on that cross, he put an end to the Old Covenant, and he ushered in a brand new covenant. And this new covenant is much like a will. You might have a will, Eugene, and in that will you specify what's going to happen to your assets upon your death. And when you die, that will go into effect. Well, that's the way it is with this new covenant. When Jesus died, he ushered in this new covenant, and that's the covenant that's in effect today. That's the covenant that governs our relationship with God the Father. And it's a covenant that is just based on God's desires for man. And so to really fully embrace all that we have in this new covenant, I think it's important that we spend the bulk of our time, as far as Bible study is concerned, reading in the New Testament letters. That's where this new covenant is fully explained. But once we have a keen understanding of that new covenant and the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, and we understand that he's the key to interpreting the entire Bible, then we can go back in the Old Testament and really see how Moses actually wrote about Jesus and the prophets actually wrote about Jesus, and they were unfolding his story just piece by piece by piece as God revealed it to them, and as they were moved by the Spirit to write that down. So the Old Testament is really pictures of Jesus, and we get to see the real thing in the New Testament.
Right. Hello? That was very, very sufficient. I mean, and I believe in exactly what you said. That's now, I do spend my bulk of my time in the New Testament, but I also go back to the Old Testament to show where Christ was mentioned.
Absolutely.
The prophecies in the Old Testament.
Well, so two passages.
I'm going to devote my time in the New Testament, which I've been doing, because it's all about the Holy Spirit. Because we know in the Old Testament, some people were moved by the Spirit of God, but the Holy Spirit wasn't given to them as a gift as Christ gave to us. So I'm going to keep doing what I was doing. Your answer was very sufficient, and it just makes me feel good. That's what I'm doing. I'm spending my bulk of the time in the New, but I'm also going into the Old Testament as well.
Yeah. Well, Eugene, great question today. Two passages of Scripture I'll point you to John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. If you will hold on to that verse, that will give you the key to really understanding the Old Testament as well as the New. Jesus said, "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me." So those Old Testament Scriptures testified about Jesus Christ. And then Luke chapter 24, Jesus along the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, and he goes back and he gives them an incredible Bible lesson. And he goes back through the prophets and Moses and the law, and he uses all of those to tell those two disciples about himself.
Wouldn't you like to have been there?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I just want to say the Bible is so beautiful because you could look in the book of Hebrews. I think it's in chapter Hebrews 7, and they talk about Melchizedek, how he was a priest without an order because he came before Aaron, and Jesus is in that same order. You understand? So we know that he is the Christ. There's so many verses in the Old Testament. And this is from Hebrews, but it goes back into the Old Testament about Melchizedek and the order that he came in. You understand? And he blessed Abraham.
Yes,
you understand?
He,
so this is what I use. And I just want to thank you guys a lot.
Well, Eugene, you're on the right track. When everything that you read points you to Jesus Christ, I think you're reading it with the mind of Christ and are hearing the Spirit teach you truth that will set you free. So, Eugene, thanks for your call today. Great question.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thanks.
1-800-677-9377. We want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. The lines are wide open. Plenty of time. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to North Brunswick, New Jersey, and talk with Susan listening to us on WMCA as well. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Welcome. How can we help you today?
Yes. Me and my mom, you know, we go to Bible class, and we have a question about, can you explain the seven dispensations?
Well, I can try. The dispensations, it comes from a movement called dispensationalism. And it's a theology that basically divides the Word of God into seven different dispensations. And within each dispensation, God deals with man in a different way. So guys like C.I. Schofield, they were the ones that championed this particular movement. There is a study Bible under C.I. Schofield's name. And it gives some explanation as to what these dispensations are. It starts in the garden, this dispensation of innocence, and then it goes on to moral responsibility, human government, promise, church, kingdom. Those are the dispensations that Schofield divides the Bible into. I think there's some positive benefits to looking at the Bible in those terms, but I also think it limits the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible really is about Jesus. And from Genesis to Revelation, God is revealing to us the person and work of Jesus Christ and how he's sufficient in every generation of life, how he is relevant regardless of the culture, regardless of the day and age, regardless of our history or ancestry, Jesus Christ is sufficient. And so I think that's the real story of the Bible.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you explained it to me. That's good. Thank you. So I can explain it to my mom now. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, Susan. Thanks for your call.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Richard, did you have any...
No, not without diving so far down in the weeds that you can't come back out. But yeah, when you look at dispensations in terms of kind of time periods and epochs through the Bible, it kind of makes a lot of sense. But when you take it as far as some people take it, then it starts to make God look like he was just kind of testing things to see what would work.
I think one of the real, I guess, benefits of viewing that. It really brings some focus on the difference between law and grace,
yes,
or law and faith. And that is a contrast that the writers of the New Testament draw time and time again, mm-hmm. that the law had a purpose, and that purpose was to reveal our condition apart from Christ, to show us what sin really was, to show us that we had a problem. And that's all the law was meant to do for us spiritually. It had a purpose for the people of Israel. That was their covenant. But God had a higher purpose, a spiritual purpose, for each and every one of us. We were all bound to the law of sin and death. We were a prisoner to sin. We were held captive by the law. And that's what we learned through it. If we're going to be rescued, law can't rescue us.
Correct.
Why? Because it's already spoken the word of judgment. It's spoken the word of condemnation. And it's spoken the word of death. It's not going to change its mind. Why? Because regardless, the law still judges us guilty of sin. So we need to be rescued by someone else. And that's where Jesus Christ comes into the picture. That's where the gospel enters in. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, he rescues us from the power of sin and death. I love how he puts it in Romans 8, how Paul writes it in Romans 8, that we have been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And once we've been set free, then the law kind of gives way to Jesus and allows Jesus to do his work in and through us. And so the dispensationalists have really kind of brought that to the forefront in a very positive way. And I think that's beneficial. But when you read the Word of God, you see that is kind of a dividing line. But when you realize that it's all about Jesus, you realize those work kind of hand in glove. The law had a purpose to point us to Jesus. It's always pointing forward, a shadow pointing us to the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Well, let's go to Orange, New Jersey, and talk with Greg, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling.
I had a question on when God directed Abraham to get a bull, a three-year-old heifer, a sheep, male sheep, three-year-old, and a three-year-old she-goat, split them in half, and then put a pigeon and turtle dove in front of them. Do you have any insight on that decoding?
Well, Greg, that's a great question, and it gets down to covenants. When people entered into a covenant, there was an agreement, and then they would do some sort of sacrifice, and the two of them would walk through that, signifying that both parties were in agreement and were willing to carry out the terms of the covenant. Well, when Abraham was called to make that particular sacrifice, after he did and he split them in two, he fell asleep. And God walked in between those two. And God was basically communicating to Abraham that these promises that I have made to you are entirely on my shoulders to fulfill. You're simply the beneficiary of these promises that I have made. The fact that through your seed the world would be blessed, that I'm going to take you to a land, those were on God's shoulders. And I think that's what that picture was indicating to us. I know, Richard, you've looked at that in detail.
Yeah, it's out of Genesis 15. And the fact that what God asked Abram to do was so tightly coupled to covenant ideas of Abram's time, and then God puts Abram to sleep and is, in essence, makes the covenant with himself, and that's where we see, you know, the writer to the Hebrews comes back and refers to this covenant as the model covenant upon which the new covenant is created. It's a covenant between God and himself. It's based on his promises, his abilities. It has nothing to do with our ability to fulfill a covenant or anything like that. And so God again, this theme we've been talking about, God created this picture way back there with Abraham saying, I'm going to do something, and I will not fail. And then he comes all the way back around in the future. Jesus has done what he did, the death, burial, resurrection, and then giving us the Holy Spirit. And God says, see, I've done all of that. I did it. You can't, but I did, and I cannot fail. Therefore, you cannot fail if you live in this covenant. It's such an all-consuming picture of God's intent toward humanity. It's amazing.
And Greg, here's what I would suggest to you: take Genesis.
I have some insight on that.
Okay. Let me give you this, and then I will. We'll hear what you have to say. I would take Genesis 15, and I would match that up to Galatians chapter 3, verses 17, all the way down through verse 22. That's where Paul explains how this promise of grace, the giving of God's Spirit, was made by God. It was covenanted by God, and it was fulfilled by God himself. So I think those two are parallel passages. Well, Greg, so what's your insight onto that?
Yeah, you're correct with Hebrews and Galatians. And by the way, his name was Abram at that time. He didn't get the H till the covenant with Isaac. This was a covenant for the lambs. And what I believe it shows, each of the animals are three-year-old. That's the purpose there. And I believe it's the three-part fullness of God being reflected through his word. And if you notice the bull, the sheep and the she-goat, and then the pigeon and the turtle dove. Now, they were laid out during the daytime. Of course, the birds came to eat upon them, which means take out the covenant, and Abram beat them away. And then, of course, night fell, and he fell into a deep sleep like Adam. But if you look again, I think the Word of God is so alive and so interfaced, the old and the new. You will find that the iron doors of Solomon's temple, and then the brass Nicanor gates, which brass repentance, the male goat, and then you would have the pigeon and the turtle dove. You have the cherubim, which would probably represent Jesus and Holy Spirit. And yet, there was no cherubim there during the New Testament. But when Jesus finally took the third piercing of iron up into the heart, his spirit went from the cross to the ground, across the rock split, the tombs opened, the dead came out. And then Herod simultaneously, the iron doors opened, the brass Nicanor gates, 20 men to open and close, opened in the veil. She usually is a reference to a spirit and goat sin, and the veil was ripped from top to bottom. So that's some of the insight I have.
Well, Greg, thanks for bringing that to the program today. We appreciate it. I love folks who
dig in
and try to see exactly what the Spirit of God is revealing to us about Jesus, about his great work for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So, Greg, thanks for being a part of Basic Gospel today. Well, we've come to the end of a program. This went by fast.
Yeah,
certainly want to remind our listeners of our sale, 30% off all resources, and especially this Conference 220 series, a powerful, powerful series. It's been one of our most popular items this year, and we would love for you to have it. So take advantage of that resource.
Yeah, now through December 8th, remember, you'll save 30% on all Basic Gospel products. That's right, all products in our store marked down 30% through December 8th, including the Conference 220 series. To view them all, visit store.basicgospel.net. Again, store.basicgospel.net to take advantage of this huge discount on all of the products just in time for Christmas giving. That's 30% off now through December 8th. Visit store.basicgospel.net and see how you can bless someone this Christmas season. And when you're finished shopping and before you check out, please help Basic Gospel stay on the air by making a generous Christmas time holiday donation. You'll find a prominent link on our homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, that's website basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear each day on this broadcast, if it's found a place in your life and in your heart, why, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelrdo. And for late news about the ministry, be sure to subscribe to our newsletter. You can find that also, a prominent link, at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.